This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, August 26th at Fenway, The Who have announced the show on their final farewell tour. By the way, Shy, you don't know this because you're not an old head, but the very first final farewell tour that The Who held was in 1982. So don't get sucked in. I think they're probably going to play until one of them or all of them drop dead on stage, I would imagine. But I will go see that show. The Who at Fenway. I will. They have hit after hit after hit. Courtney, you probably don't know any of them.
No, I don't. Is Ken the one who doesn't like The Who? Or was it Razor?
Oh, it might be Razor.
Because are they Canadian?
No, they are not Canadian.
You're thinking of Rush.
They are English.
Oh, I'm thinking
Ken,
of Rush.
Ken loves Rush. I hate Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was Neil Peart?
That was Rush.
Okay.
Neil Peart. But The Who, they have Ringo from the Beatles, his son is their drummer, and they kicked him out of the band. They fired him like 2 weeks ago for 2 days, and then they took him back in the band. So those tickets, I think, go on sale next week or whatever. But Fenway concerts right around the corner because so is summer. And also, Shime, on a rejoin note this morning, new Counting Crows album dropped this morning. So if you could, later on, please.
I would be happy to.
Counting Bros for the win, if you could. This is David in the car. Hello, David.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Great show, as always. You
Thank
guys
you.
Make my morning
Thank you,
right
David.
Awesome. Thank you. I don't understand Rafael Devers, and I understand his positions, this and that. The greatest face of the Red Sox, play first base whenever needed. The first thing Rafael needs to understand is that DH is not a position because it doesn't exist on the Nationals. So if you have the opportunity and you're asked to play a position.
It does now in the Nationals.
It does now, okay. I apologize. So, but my thing is this, if you have the opportunity to play first base, why wouldn't you? And Wiggy, I'm sorry. I respect what you say. You are a football player, and I remember watching you live at the, not Gillette, Foxborough Stadium. But the thing is, yes, you're getting paid $30 million. Suck it up. Be a team player. Play whatever position is needed to help the team. And don't be a crybaby. And stop saying, nope, because it doesn't work anymore.
I mean, that seems to be, so far this morning, the general consensus on the Subaru of New England text line,
mm-hmm.
which is they just asked you, could you step up and help the outfit, as Joe Biden would refer to it? Can you help the organization? Can you step up and be a company guy and do a little extra here. I mean, that seems to be the general consensus, and the answer is nope.
But the issue is, see, here's what people don't get. Like, and if you have never played a professional sport,
right,
it might be hard to understand it.
Right. We have not, all of us, everybody listening, everybody on this show, none of us have played a professional
sport. Well, David has played soccer, so he's a former professional athlete. So there are some people out
correct.
There.
Yes.
Right.
So
let me limit the people that can disagree, and now I'll make
my point. It's not about disagreeing. The fact that you are a third baseman, right, and that's the position you came up in, and people were criticizing you about how bad you were and how you weren't good at it. And it took you some time. Maybe you did have some struggles, but that's the position. And then they want you to move to a position where maybe you know if I struggled at third base, I might be even worse at first base. And what's the criticism going to be towards me as a professional athlete?
And to move him right at when he starts, like, kind of hitting his stride. Like, at DH, he was not good in the beginning. We talked about it over and over again. People wanted him out of here, and he's kind of starting to figure it out. And now that he's figuring it out, they're going to move him again?
Right, because
egos are a major
happened.
Thing. But egos are a major thing in sports, and we know that. He does not want to go to first base and be so awful where he's getting criticized and ripped to shreds. And that affects an athlete's ego. So he
won't be getting criticized today all over the city of Boston all day.
Yeah, and he got criticized so much that he played third base for 6 years.
But he played third base coming up his whole career when he was a young kid. I mean, everybody moves around in Little League, but once they found this position, that's the position. Like, you can't don't even bring up Big Poppy. Big Poppy was a first baseman. So the fact that he might go over there and be like, you know, I'm going to struggle. I don't even want to deal with that. I'm comfortable at the DH. They didn't want me to play third base. This is where I'm at. Now they want me to play first. I'm not doing it.
Here's a text from New Hampshire. Hello and good morning to New Hampshire. And we have two road shows this road show season for you. One in Hampton Beach and the other in the middle of Lake Winnipesaukee at the Dive on July 3rd. And you can check the entire roadshow schedule on our social media, on Instagram and elsewhere. But the text says the fact that the concept of even having to ask him is an issue is a problem. That's how I feel. Like, the fact that Rafael Devers is pissed that Craig Breslow dared to ask him if he would mind helping everybody else on the team out is bogus.
And this is not something that the organization would have done if not for the season-ending injury to Casas. Like, it wasn't their plan to beg him to get off the third and accept the DH role and then tell him to move again. This happened. It was just something that occurred in the course of a Major League Baseball season. And his reaction reveals an awful lot about who he is as a guy on the roster.
Yeah, that it might reflect who he is character-wise, but before...
So why are you defending
it? No, because before, I'm defending the his opinion on why he doesn't want to move. But before Casas got hurt, everybody was like, leave Devers alone. Why would you want to put Devers at first base? He stinks at third. He's going to stink at first. Find somebody else to do it. Now, all of a sudden.
Literally, like no one said
that. Yeah,
that
seems like a straw man to me.
No, it's
literally
not a straw man.
Literally, no one said don't
Stop
put
it.
Devers at first.
Everybody
when Casas
was like,
healthy. Nobody even brought up the idea of putting him at first.
And when we were talking about this whole thing for moving Devers off of third base and figuring out, should he go play first or should he DH?
That was really back in the spring where we were saying.
But even when Casas was struggling, we were talking about whether should they move Roman Anthony there, should they move Marcelo Mayer there,
Meyer,
should they move Christian Campbell there. We were talking about all the people, and everybody was like, we'd rather move those other guys than Devers.
And listen, in a perfect world, Curtis, like, obviously he would say, yes, I'll do anything for the team. I'm not just because I disagree with the way in which we're painting Rafael Devers, I don't agree with what he is doing. Like, in a perfect world, yes, he says to Craig Breslow and Alex Cora, of course, I'll do whatever you guys want.
Right.
But we
yeah.
don't live in a perfect world. So this is the reality of the situation. So I'm just trying to give the opposite side of what might be going through his head.
Oh, no, I know what's going through his head, and it's all about him and not about the team, and that's not something that I would respect.
It's being pissed off that they dared to tell you weren't going to play third base, And now, you know, from his mind, he's going, well, now you're coming back to me and you want me to play first base? Sorry.
Right.
You didn't want me to play third. I'm not playing first base. Like, get out of town.
And the other thing, Greg, is that thanks to Breslow yesterday, this all came to the surface, and this is why they've all been dancing around it, because they know how pissed he is about even the prospect of playing the position. But what stood out to me most, I listened back to Breslow last night. He said that he is still taking grounders at third base. And when I asked if he'd used a first baseman's mitt, he said no, he's just practicing with his third base at third base, not at first. Why are they giving in to that?
Well, it's like, not they're giving in to him.
If he is to play the field this year,
uh-huh.
It is not going to be third base. That's been clear in Bregman's one-game absence for the
birth
of his child.
Right, but here's the thing, Curtis. Endeavor said this yesterday, and this leads me to believe, and this is the other window that you have to get into the world of how and all sports at every level, but especially at the professional level, where people in the front office and coaches and managers lie to you. Because he made it seem like they lied to him about playing third base.
They told him to, and we'll get to the audio soon, but his argument is they told him to put the glove away. So there are texters who say this is all on Craig Breslow.
Yeah, you can't lie to a guy.
But they didn't lie to him. Things change.
Right.
Like, the situation changes.
He said they were dishonest in what they were telling him.
No,
so is that not lying?
No, Wiggy, it's not lying, because at the time, when Cassis was healthy, yeah, they had zero intention of putting him in the field. But come to find out, there's injuries, and things change, and situations change.
Let me ask you this question.
It's not lying if something changes.
Let me ask you this question honestly. Do you think they told him, when they signed Bregman, that he would have an opportunity at third base?
When they signed Bregman,
yes.
No. They told him no. It's Bregman's job.
Stop.
That's why he was so pissed about it.
No, stop. He was pissed because they probably told him, like, listen, you're going to get a chance, Rafi, at third base. And they were dishonest with him there. They were dishonest with him about the DH and first base. So how is that not lying to the guy?
Right.
Endeavors
was dishonest when he said he wanted the team to get better.
And then when you... No, he was honest about the team getting better, but want it to get better.
If you want it to get better, he should go to first.
Stop it.
Let me just get John on this quick. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi, guys. I think it comes down to a pretty simple principle. If you want to be on a team in a team sport, what you do is may hurt your ego, may hurt you, but helps the team win. And it seems simple. When you play a team sport, that's what you do.
Yep. I agree
with that.
Could not agree more.
Well, then don't lie to people. Well, how about that in sports? You know how many athletes I've dealt with it? Be honest. And I believe part of this is pettiness, because he was lied to about the third base position, whether Shine wants to believe it or anybody else wants to believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought in Bregman, they probably said, hey, we're going to give you an opportunity at third. They lied to him about that. Mm-hmm. That made him pissed. So he fought to get his opportunity, and then eventually threw his hands in and goes, you know what? All right, F it. I'll DH.
Shine was lied to about who's going to be the next pontiff.
Yeah, yep. Just straight up lied to.
Bad sourcing on that.
I know. Can't trust the Italians, I guess.
Dude wasn't even anywhere on your top 10.
I mean, look, man, I did my research. I was grinding tape on those pontiffs probables, and he was just nowhere to be found. He wasn't on the list. It was like back in the Baker Mayfield draft when everybody's like, yeah, he'll be like the fifth quarterback off the board, and he ended up going number one overall.
You're number one overall. Who you suggested would be number one overall fell to like the seventh round of the conclave.
I know. I can't even believe it.
And Deion Shador drop.
The favorite yesterday when we talked about it on the show, I had number five on my big board, on my mock draft. And then all of a sudden, yep, nothing.
Do you think they have DoorDash at the Vatican?
Like, definitely.
Do they have a calf?
I don't know. I mean,
they probably do have some kind of an employee lounge.
You know what the coolest thing?
But if you're the Pope, like you say, I want chicken piccata, and like they will get you
of course
anything you want.
He probably has a private chef.
Is this the first American Pope?
Yes.
Oh wow,
first American Pope.
Jesus.
The best thing about Italy, I don't know if you did this, Greg, the highway rest stops that have food is like the best food you'll ever eat.
Oh no, I don't.
My God, it's really amazing. It's like so I can only imagine how good the Vatican food would be.
But the Pope, I mean, that's really the only guilty pleasure that the man can take advantage of, the food. Like, yeah. He can't do anything else.
No. Well, the last
he's
one.
Not, he's not vaping.
The last one was caught on X liking certain things.
Well, I mean, so, social media. He accidentally. What do you mean he accidentally?
Wait, you actually think the Pope tweets?
I mean, he probably had no idea that OnlyFans was in his feed or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's his fault.
He was like an IG model?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're anything like the priests that I met at BC or growing up, they also imbibe. So it's food and booze. They certainly enjoy both.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but we are going to get to our leads coming up next.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for more Devers drama, Keith?
I am ready. I am ready. Holy mackerel. Say what you said when we first got in this morning. When you first saw these Devers comments yesterday, you thought, what?
That was an article from The Onion. I looked at the quotes and I was like, these aren't real.
These are fake. Babylon B. Let's go both sides of the aisle here, Keith. Yeah, Babylon B.
That was The Onion. So I was reading them yesterday as they came out via Twitter. And I was saying to myself, well, he hasn't talked in a while. People have wanted to hear from Devers. So maybe somebody just made up what he might say. Or maybe they asked AI. They're like, hey, what would Rafael Devers say about moving to first base or being asked to play first base? His reaction is amazing. It's similar to his reaction from spring training when he was asked to DH, but it's even turned up more. It's even more comical. And as somebody who has said a lot of dumb stuff in my life, I can recognize how dumb the stuff he is saying. He's a clown. He's a legit clown. He's a horrible teammate. He's a selfish player. And I don't know what more he has to do to prove that to everybody else.
Yeah, I don't really understand people on Devers' side. Like I know Wiggy, we were just arguing with Wiggy in the last break. I know Courtney is on this side as well. And like, if Devers is annoyed at the situation,
I get it.
I totally get it. I don't think anybody is saying Devers doesn't have the right to be annoyed or frustrated. But the fact that he won't do something to help the team, and he might not even be good at it, to your point. He might not be a good first baseman.
He might be a horrible option, but that's also a secondary topic.
All these things are secondary. Is the guy a team player or not? Is the guy willing to help the team or not? Or does he just want to be 500 and be happy?
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like he'd rather be on last year's crappy team as a third baseman.
Although the same guy said he wanted more help. He wanted reinforcements last year. Wanted players to come in here. They got players.
Yeah, and guess what? They got help. They got a player at his position. He didn't like that. But you know who was right and who was wrong? The team was right and he was wrong. The team was right to bring in Bregman and play him at third. Bregman's an upgrade at third. Bregman's a better hitter right now and fielder than Devers. And better leader and everything else. So he was wrong. And I think he's wrong about this too. So Devers has every right to be frustrated, annoyed. Go ahead and lash out behind the scenes. Alex Cora, Craig Breslow. It sounds like more Breslow than Cora. I mean, he has every right to do that. But he's a horrible teammate. An absolutely horrible teammate. And Keith, you said this. For a week, he blew off the media. And then yesterday, they've now won two games in a row.
Yeah.
He played great. They have some momentum. He played great. They win two in a row. And instead of feeling good about themselves and getting back over 500, he comes out and introduces this. And he had a week to think about it. He had a week to blow off the media, calm down, get his mind right, get his answers straight. And this is the best he came up with after two straight wins. Horrible teammate. Horrible, horrendous teammate. They're already joking in the Twitch chat we're trading Rafi Devers.
Yeah, I would.
I
see you later.
I don't rule anything out.
Go ahead.
And I would have traded him for Vlad in the offseason.
Yeah.
I would have moved off him in the offseason for various different players. I don't know that I'm moving him right now. I don't even know that I'm there, but I wouldn't blame the team at all. Horrible teammate.
Oh, I would absolutely trade him. Now, you're not just getting rid of him to get rid of him. I'm not trading him for like a player to be named later. It's not like a salary dump. Like, you want somebody good in return. He is a good hitter. And I have no idea if he'll be a good first baseman. I don't know if a team wanting him would want to play him in the field at all. Maybe they just want him as a DH, whatever. But, yeah, I would move on from him. This guy has now a couple of different times proven to you what a bad teammate he is. And I think even as a fan, obnoxious. He's obnoxious. He's impossible to root for, if you ask me. And it makes me feel similar to, like, when David Price or John Lackey, guys that were on the team that we root for, but you just couldn't stand them. The difference here is, David Price would get defended by his teammates because, by all accounts, he was a pretty good teammate. He just, you know, he had the thing with Eckersley on the plane. He was bad. He had a million excuses. Remember, the pollen count was high, so he pitched poorly. But, like, I don't think teammates disliked him. Those guys tried to stick up for him. So this one's very different. Like, the fan experience is similar, but this one is, wait a minute, you won't help us? Like, you can be as mad at Cora and Breslow as you want. Like, to your point off the rep, I'm fine with that. I get it. You know me. Hold a grudge.
Yeah.
But are you – you're not just giving in to Breslow and Cora. You're also helping Bregman and Story, the pitchers, the everybody on your team. If they think that's the best move and you're not going to do it, you can't argue that you're a good teammate or you're putting the team first, because you're not.
Dr. Andrew said I had a special elbow.
Like, yeah, I mean,
no, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the difference there, like, from the outside, I would say the approval rating was low on both, but at least those guys you could argue were good teammates.
Well, Keith, how do you know his teammates don't like him? Ah, interesting. Interesting you should bring up such a thing.
Yes.
So Chris Cotillo yesterday, Mass Live, tweets out the clubhouse piece to this. You can bet his teammates are not going to be thrilled about this stance.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel Starr of the Boston Herald quote tweeted that and said several of them were listening intently. Devers did this in the middle of the clubhouse, and the reactions were not positive.
Wow.
And I don't...
I'm not surprised.
Me neither.
How could it be? I mean, this whole team, we talked about it. Almost every guy on the team either has changed positions or has said that they would.
Yeah.
Like, everybody.
And so, right. So, again, you don't have to be happy about it. But I can give you... we were doing this before the show. I can give you maybe 1,000 baseball players that switch positions.
I think more now have than haven't.
Keith, the whole team in 2018, almost the entire pitching staff, Nate Eovaldi was pitching out of the bullpen. Sale was pitching out of the bullpen.
Porcello, they all pitched out of the pen.
All these guys were doing it. Why'd they do that?
I don't know.
They should have dug in their heels and said,
I'm only a starter.
I'm only a starter. Good point. Not helping the team. All those guys should have said, no, F this. I'm a starter. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. Why would I help you guys out? I'm not doing that thing. So it's just, it's ridiculous. Even A-Rod, maybe the most selfish professional athlete I can think of.
Yeah, he's up there.
Even that guy moved positions.
Yep.
There's 1,000 guys on this baseball team that have done it over the years. And you can talk about guys they moved off of that they probably should have kept in retrospect over Rafi Devers. I always wanted Betts over Devers.
Of course. I mean, everybody did.
I wanted Devers over Bogarts, and now I'm rethinking that.
Yeah.
But it's like Bogarts moved a bunch. Bogarts continues to move around in San Diego. He moved up when he first came to the big leagues. Betts has his money, moves all over the place for the Dodgers. Yep. Unselfish.
The Padres moved all their guys. Machado, Tatis, Bogarts, everybody moves.
We could do
Jackson Merrill.
Altuve's moving all over the place in Houston. I can give you 1,000 guys. 1,000 guys. And I'm sure none of them are thrilled about it. Kevin Youkilis, I know, was bullcrap about moving all over the place when he was here. But he did it. There's a lot of guys. A lot of guys. And they might not be thrilled about it. They may not love doing it. Victor Martinez was bouncing back and forth between catcher and first base. I don't think he loved that. He would do it.
But what's really...
Guys would do it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I think most players would do it. To make it sound like, oh, I get why. I get Rafi Devers. Why they're jerking him around. They lied to him, all this stuff. Almost everybody, even if they don't want to do it, and they're pissed about it, would do it to help the team, except this guy.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. So you can imagine, like you said, what everybody else is saying, every other teammate is saying. And what's amazing to me is he's making it sound like the Red Sox, meaning Breslow, we'll get to that. He's really singling out Breslow. But if you want to lump Breslow and Cora in, like, sort of the decision makers, he's sort of making it sound like, oh, they just had a change of heart, or, oh, they flip-flopped on this. Tristan Casas is out for the year.
Thank you.
This isn't like a random occurrence. This isn't even Casas hitting .150. What do? He's out for the year. They don't have another first baseman. They say, hey, maybe you can do this. Maybe you can help us here, be a good teammate and play first. This wasn't the plan. Mm-hmm. In spring training, now, I think there's plenty of reason to get on them for not having him at least work out as the potential backup. That's on them, and that's dumb.
Hang on. You think that's on them?
They didn't have a backup, so yeah. If he was their first choice as a backup, they should have at least had him take a ground ball or two in spring training.
What if he refused to do it? Like, I don't rule out that they wanted him to do it, and he said, right, I'm not
well, if
doing
we get
it.
If we get that part of the story, then so be it. But I'm just saying they didn't have a backup first baseman, so now they're asking him to do it. He should. This isn't they woke up one day and were like, you know what? After a month of DHing, we're going to have you play first. No. Casas is out for the year, and it's not even Casas is out for 15 days. If he's out 15 days, right. Maybe you're like, all right, we'll duct tape it together with Romy Gonzalez.
Something
he's
drastic.
Out for the year.
Something drastic happened.
And it's like he didn't even acknowledge that in his statements yesterday.
Clown is the perfect word, Keith. It's the perfect word. So it's Jones and Keith. Lottie already lining up. You can do so at 617-779-7937. My goodness, is it a busy Friday.
Wow.
We have the Friday 4-pack at 11:30, so stay tuned for it. We have a top 5 Friday for you. We're going to give you our top 5 first base options for
topical.
The Boston Red Sox.
Topical today.
Very, very topical. That's at 10:45, so about a half an hour from now. Stay tuned for it. We're talking Celtics today. Tim Welsh, former Providence head coach, is going to join us at high noon for some insight on Celtics and Knicks. I also understand that Tim Welsh has some sources at the University of North Carolina.
Oh.
Which could be very relevant given the updates on Bill Belichick today. If you're just tuning in, Jordan Hudson banned from UNC. She's banned from the football facility.
Oh,
and Bill's family is quote unquote digging in on Jordan Hudson, like her history, all this stuff. So a lot of good dirt on Belichick.
Not
we'll get to that.
About this.
No, I wouldn't want to either. We also have the Week in Review at 12:45, jam-packed show. Oh, and Mike Vrabel talks live at 1:30. I can't imagine a more jam-packed Friday here
full Friday.
On Jones and Keefe. Very full. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. Let's hear a few more of these clips. These are just unbelievable. Keefe is right. When I saw this last night, I wasn't even sure they were real. Rafael Devers is upset with Craig Breslow, which I find odd. But let's hear it and react on the other side. Here's Devers.
And I'm assuming the conversation, like, it was with Alex and Craig Breslow.
Okay.
No, fue solamente con el gerente. No sé qué le pasa a esa persona conmigo. Él jugó pelota. Creo que él también entiende que es muy difícil cambiar de posición así. Creo que la pelota que él jugó no fue esta que estamos jugando ahora.
Yeah, it was the GM that I spoke with. I'm not certain what he has with me. He played ball, and I would like to think that he knows that changing positions like that isn't easy.
He played ball?
What an a-hole.
You don't know how to play first base, Scott?
That's right.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Walsh.
It's incredibly hard.
Scott Hatterberg did
not
it.
Not that hard, Scott. A lot of guys just stick over there at first base.
Text line points out Kyle Schwarber did it not well, but like
nope.
but
Cecil Fielder played first.
In terms of being a good teammate, there's
also,
a lot.
Kyle Schwarber became like a cult hero because he did it.
Okay,
exactly.
And again, Schwarber wasn't good at it, but right. At least he did it for the team. And so this guy. So I did a brag, Keith.
Oh, early brag.
I did an early edition last night.
Look at that.
And
TV Jones.
They brought over a gentleman from Telemundo.
Sick brag, thank bro.
Thank you.
So this is a great idea, actually, which I was thinking of yesterday, because I only took Spanish for like 4 years, so I'm really of no help to anybody.
I took it for 4 years in high school, 2 semesters in college,
yeah.
Brag.
I'm horrible at it.
I couldn't even put together a sentence.
I think he's talking about baseball, but I'm not really sure what else.
I heard pelota.
I heard that in there.
I heard pelota. Other than that, I didn't pick up one word.
So they brought in like a separate translator.
Yes, from Telemundo.
Okay, what was the takeaway?
And he just basically said that it was much worse than this Red Sox PR guy translator who's there for Devers.
Makes sense.
Who literally is a team employee in PR, translating for Devers, cleaning everything up, softening the stance. And one of the examples he used, I believe the word is gerente, which is how you're referring to like a GM in this case.
Okay.
But very dismissive of Breslow, and that tone didn't necessarily come through.
Yeah,
so
okay.
He is pissed at Breslow. And I would take a step back from that because Breslow's the one who asked him, according to Devers. He sat down and Breslow asked him to go play first base, go get the glove. And he's pissed at Breslow. And I don't even get why Breslow's having the conversation.
Yeah, where's Cora?
This is Cora's job. This is what you do. This is a player you have a relationship with. And I think the whole thing is weaselly by Cora. Did he not want to do it?
Yeah.
Did he say, well, it's not my problem, Craig. You go do it.
Yeah, you started this.
Did Craig just say, if Breslow did this, I'd give him a lot of credit. Doesn't seem like his character or his personality.
Yeah.
But But if Breslow's just like, guys, this is ridiculous. No one's talking to Devers. It's embarrassing that Cora's like, I haven't even had the conversation. I don't plan on having the conversation. I'll go down and have the conversation. And
oh, hey, Ralphie.
Breslow had it?
Breslow, there's multi-factors into the variables that
like,
are...
Breslow shouldn't be delivering it, but I give him credit if he was just like fed up with Cora because Cora's not going to have the conversation. He went down and did it. It's such a weaselly move by Cora to not get in the middle. This is what you're supposed to do
especially
as a manager of the Red Sox.
Devers being Sour Patch Kids started because of Cora. Nobody wanted Alex Bregman more than Alex Cora.
Great point.
Not even close. Breslow, happy with the results. Didn't really want him, I don't think.
The reporting in real time is that Cora and ownership were pushing for...
And Breslow's like, we're good. Yeah, let's stay the course.
They were pushing for Bregman, and Breslow was the one holding up the sign.
So he's out of the field because of Alex Cora. Then because of an injury to another player for the season, they're asking him if he might consider playing first base, and Devers blames it all on Breslow. I mean, misguided. Do you think Cora really wants to just trot out Abraham Toro every single game? Or does he think, hey, maybe Devers can try it. We can call up Roman Anthony to DH for a while. Then we'll see what happens with the outfield. Or he even plays some outfield. Then we can DH, you know, Willier for a game, or we can DH whoever for a game here and there. Use it sort of as a rotating spot. Yeah, it truly is remarkable.
I'm starting to wonder if anybody down there wants to win. Like, Devers is happy going 500 and playing third base every day,
Devers
and making a million errors.
Devers is not.
Are you sure Cora wants to?
No, well, not. No, he wants to be prepared for the end of the year, which may end up being missing the playoffs based on how you're managing your bullpen and everything else.
Cora can't even bring himself to have a conversation with Rafael Devers.
He won't walk Vlad Guerrero because he's like, well, they'll need this for 3 months from now.
So, like, I'm starting to wonder if anybody down there wants to win or if everybody just wants to be like friendly with each other and happy with their situation. Devers and Cora right in the middle of it. I did love this. This was maybe my favorite part of the whole thing.
Okay.
Devers basically telling Breslow to go do his job and hit the market and get a first baseman. This is my favorite. Let me hear this.
Because of the conversation that you had in spring training, switching to being a designated hitter, do you feel like that now makes it, you've already put it behind you, like missing the field, you know, not playing the field, you put that behind you?
Yeah, you know, they put me in this situation, and, you know, they told me that they didn't want to allow me to play any other position. And now, you know, I think it's they should do their jobs essentially and hit the market and look for another player. I'm not sure why they want me to be in between the way they have me now.
That's incredible.
I mean,
Craig, why don't you go do your job?
Yeah.
Hit the market.
Get me a player. We got you players, and then you had to move position, and you were mad about that. So if we get another player, how mad are you going to be? Get a DH then.
That is unbelievable.
Is DH a position?
Well,
let's stop you right there.
Quote unquote.
Let's rewind
it's
that.
It's like, I'm learning a new position. It's not a position. You're just hitting. You already hit. You're doing less. They're actually asking you to do less. It's an unbelievable thing
he's
concerned
about. He's
legit
making it sound like he played third base, center field. Now they're asking him to catch.
No, Keith.
That's what he's making it sound like.
Keith, he said it's a slippery slope. Like, pretty soon, if he plays first base, they're going to ask him to play outfield.
So that was my favorite part.
That's a great line.
That was my favorite part, because I say a lot of dumb stuff. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, Devers, they're never going to ask you to play in the outfield. You don't have to worry about that. And why would an injury, like, they actually have that covered. They got a bunch of outfielders. They don't have a bunch of first basemen.
Go get me a goddamn first baseman.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
That was Devers. That was Lou translating the Spanish. Yeah. That was Devers. Yeah.
He was like, please go out and get somebody.
The market.
Which is also funny because that's also burying the guys you have, right? Like, that's just another shot at Romy. It's one thing for you
to
dump on Romy and
Great
Toro
point.
And those. I mean, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's like, we don't have a first base. Those guys are like, at least we're willing to play it. We're also third basemen. Isn't Romy and Toro both third basemen? Or at least came up as like shortstop third baseman?
Who knows?
Right, who knows? But they're willing to play first base.
Of course they are.
Marcelo Meyer's willing to play first base.
Well,
I'm sure all these guys are willing to play first base except for Devers.
They're professionals. This guy's not a professional.
He's a baby.
Guy's a great hitter.
That's a stretch.
Guy's a good hitter.
He's a good hitter.
Good hitter.
He's good. He's a good player. He's a good hitter.
And he makes a lot of money.
No, but like,
but he is just a horrible, horrible teammate, and he's not a professional.
They asked me to change positions. It's such a wild phrase, considering you went from third base, where half of your job is hitting, half of it is playing third.
Yeah.
They said, don't worry about playing third.
Yeah, just hit.
Which is what you were already doing.
That's not a position.
Not at all.
You're not learning anything.
It's like half a day off. Like, they're actually paying you more money than for stuff that you're doing. They're taking away some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying, hey, remember how badly you wanted to play in the field? We actually have an opportunity for you to play in the field on the other hot corner. Slide over to first base. Will you try that? He's like, well, what's next? Center field?
And I just,
no, dude, center field's not next.
I also refuse to believe they just out of the blue told him to put his glove away. He claims that. He's like, well, they just essentially told me to put my glove away. I highly doubt that. I don't know this, but just does that sound like something a team would do? I think a team, because you want to be prepared in case of injury or struggles or whatever.
Throw your glove away.
I think a team would say, keep taking grounders at third, stay in shape. Why don't you take some grounders at first as well? You never know what's going to happen. Just why don't you do that? And, you know, hopefully things will work out. Things have a way of working out. That's what I think a team would say. I think they told him to put his glove away to convince him to be a DH because he was such a baby about signing a better player than him. In Alex Bregman, a better winner, a better leader, a better teammate, a better player.
Yep.
He was such a baby about it. They're like, well, then Rafi, fine. We're just put your glove away. You're just a DH now. You're such a giant baby about this. Just put your glove away.
He's the least likable Red Sox since David Price.
Yeah.
I think he has to be.
Now, in fairness, and you said at least Price was popular with his teammates. I'm not sure Devers is right now.
Right.
But. A lot of us wanted him to trade David Price, and eventually they did, but Price also helped you win a World Series. A lot of us wanted to trade John Lackey. Lackey eventually helped them win a World Series.
He's not likable. Doesn't mean he can't hit. I mean, he socked a ding-dong yesterday. Like, he's still a hitter. I'm not trading him away for a nothing. Bunch of fungo bats.
But you are trading him.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, I don't even know that I'm there yet. I mean, I'd trade anybody in the right deal, but I don't know that I'm, like, itching to trade him. But he needs to wake up, and hopefully... Just like he eventually woke up and moved to DH, hopefully this is all just a kicking up dust and he eventually moves to first because that's the obvious right thing.
Now, somewhat apples to oranges, but play along for a second. Do you think Kyrie Irving was a good teammate?
Nope.
So don't you think? Very skilled, but very good player.
But teammate, he like Price and Lackey, his teammates did really like him.
Yeah, but which was odd. I don't know if he brainwashed him or whatever, but it was almost like as talented as he was, they needed to move on from him to win. Now, I know basketball and baseball are different, and a guy that just goes in there and hits, but if you have everybody else on the team looking at him sideways, he's a guy with zero. He's never had accountability. His whole career, he's never had accountability. He's just had other teammates to step up for him. And then when he hasn't, we've had some of these bad seasons, and he's been the face of those bad seasons. So I'm not attached to him. If you can find a good trade, do it. I don't need to keep him.
Okay. You guys can jump in on this. You're already waiting patiently at 617-779-7937. We'll get to you, and we'll get to a lot more. Top 5 Friday, 10:45. First base options for the Boston Red Sox. We have a Friday 4-pack at 11:30. 4-pack of questions. We do it every Friday. Bill Belichick and Jordan. Bill's family worried about Jordan, and she's banned from the UNC football facility. We'll get to that. Tim Welsh going to join us at High Noon. We'll talk some Celtics. We got Week in Review 12:45. And Mike Vrabel. At 1:30, talking live.
Jam-packed.
Why would you go anywhere?
I wouldn't.
Stick with Jones and Keith. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. I'm right back.
Welcome into WEEI Afternoons on a Friday afternoon. Andy Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy-Stevens in our beautiful Brighton studio, powered by Verizon. A little tip of the cap. The tip of the red cap from Fitzy back there.
Yeah, it's a far from beautiful afternoon. I feel like the weather that is currently engulfing New England is emblematic of the mood of the Boston sports fan on this particular Friday.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been a great week. And because of that, we usually start off our Friday afternoon shows here with Who Won the Week? It's been a staple for Fitzy and I going back to nights and weekends and various points in our careers here at WEEI. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really feel appropriate this week, and this is the first time we've ever done it. We're not doing who won the week. We're doing who lost the week in Boston sports because, well, it feels like there's a lot of candidates between Bill Belichick and the Celtics and different members of the Celtics, individual people contributing to their 0-2 deficit in the series with the Knicks. It feels like there's some people involved with the Red Sox that are having a tough week, whether that be Devers or the people trying to manage or motivate or cajole Devers. So I'm going to start things off, Fitzy, and you just heard it, actually. You just heard Tim Welsh earlier today on Jones and Keefe with a tremendous interview with the boys, former Providence College basketball coach, and I agree with him. He's an expert witness. I am just a guy who yaps on the radio. The loser of the week in Boston sports was Jason Tatum. Because whether it's local, national, fans, media, everybody is now questioning what Tatum is, what his legacy can be, will be, could be moving forward, how much he has to lose on Saturday and through the rest of the playoffs. He laid an egg in game one. He laid an egg in game two. He laid an egg with the game on the line to conclude game two. And you're getting a lot of weird conversations. And we know he hears the noise. Unlike a Belichick coach team, he absolutely hears the noise. And we also know at times he creates some of the noise with his unquenched desire to be treated as a basketball god, to be a face not only of the Boston Celtics but of the NBA, to be put on some Mount Rushmore of modern players, and you know, his fandom of Kobe and everything that he represented. And it's been a hideous week for Jason Tatum on the basketball court. And you know, usually he bounces back from hideous performances and muddies the water at the very least with some good and bad mixed in. He's just been bad, and it is now challenging his legacy. And in doing so, he's sort of, I don't know, holding the Celtics back, pulling the Celtics down with him, with his performances. And suddenly the defending champions are on the ropes here a little bit in a series in which Terp predicted months ago, warned us months ago, that in the last six NBA champions, they don't get out of the second round. And here the Celtics are down 0-2 in the second round, thanks to Jason Tatum. So, yes, Dan Ball.
He was just in here. I think he's still taking Celtics in six.
Celtics in six. Well, he is.
Is he backed off Celtics in four yet?
It's funny how Terp has gone.
A bit. Not all the way, though.
Celtics in four. Checking. They lost a game. Oh, he said Celtics in five. Oh, they lost another game. Now it's Celtics in six. Funny how that keeps moving that goalpost.
That's what I just said to him, and he said, yeah, but they would have won if their shots had gone in.
Oh, yeah. You know, if I was born with a 12-inch you-know-what, then I probably would be
not
working in adult entertainment.
You don't have to. You could just be
I don't know what a guy.
I could be John Hamm then. That's fine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Or I could be, you know, my background band would be The News.
But that's like saying, you know, if I were 7 inches taller, I'd be playing in the NBA, or I would have gone and played high level college.
Or
but
if
like,
I wasn't afraid of hanging off the side of Airbuses in the middle of the sky, I'd be Tom Cruise. I mean, what are we doing? If their shots had gone in, you know, right, I'll tell you like, what. Here's somebody else who gets a big fat L for the week. Everyone making excuses for everyone else in Boston sports. Knock it off. Shut up. Own your L. Move on. Carry on. Do better. Nobody wants to hear about, oh, well, you know, the Knicks had their 90th worst offensive night of the year. That's right. Actually, Andy, because we had a truncated show yesterday, we couldn't get into of the 10 different thousand analyticals of like, oh, look at this shot chart. Look at these wide open versus super wide open versus ultra deluxe super wide open threes they missed. The Knicks statistically played their worst offensive game of the entire 2024-2025 season.
Yep.
And still were able to win because the Celtics, technically, according to the nerd wizards of the hard court, played their second worst offensive night of the entire calendar year, or excuse me, 2024-2025 year. And I just want to hear it. You know what? If they just made a damn basket at the end and Jason Tatum didn't run into 17 people, like somebody tripping out of the doorway of a Trader Joe's, then maybe they wouldn't have had to worry about all these stupid numbers and analyticals and everything. Stop making excuses. You played like garbage. You played like crap. They played like crap. Their crap was just a little less stinky than yours that night. So own it and move on.
If you want to watch the show, you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can see Fitzy's big old bright red hat, Boston Red Sox hat. You can also join the chat where Gina_MA to AZ said, if my aunt had balls, ... Yes, that is the proper response.
Tried and true.
Yep, that is the proper response. Say, if they made their shots, that's how sports works. If I had scored more points, I would have won the game. If I had hit a home run, we would have won the game. If I had made the tackle, we wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, it's very funny that Gina, who's an excellent and regular contributor in our Twitch chat, and we also welcome everybody who wants to watch on our YouTube live channel as well, that she says, you know, if my aunt had balls, ... Because I'll tell you someone else who really has balls, big, brass, well-compensated baseballs, and is my loser of the week, Andy, Rafael Devers.
Yes.
Man, guy, read multiple rooms, would you please? I mean,
no.
Your team, well, first, all your manager wants to do is ask you if you could possibly consider a switch after he asked you to make a switch earlier in the springtime because they found someone who's better at the job that you were butchering for multiple seasons in the field. You're statistically the worst third baseman in the American League, and so your team asked if it'd be cool if you could just do what you've been doing really well for over a half decade in MLB, and that's hitting. And you said, oh, okay, but only after you took your ball and your glove and your hat and your bottle of Camus and you went home and sulked about it for a while. And then you came back, and now your team has lost their interesting, also unique, mercurial first baseman who likes to paint his fingernails and sun himself shirtless in the outfield while doing yoga in the form of Tristan Casas. And your team has a crisis. And I'm starting to now think that part of the reason why this team can't get on the same page, correct the vibe, and play to their potential is because you've got sour grapes and you've just got moody doodles like freaking Rafael Devers in the room. The fact that he gets paid $30 million a year to play for the team, not just do his one thing, to be a teammate, which he is doing a rotten job of right now, Andy, and that he had the nerve of this guy to say, well, first they told me to put my glove away, so now I'm just used to and getting comfortable with this. What are they going to ask me to do next? Play in the outfield? No, because although the entertainment value would be spectacular, Rafi, nobody wants to see you in the outfield. You would make Manny Ramirez look like freaking Jim Edmonds. And on top of it all, he has double the nerve to tell Craig Breslow to hit the market and find a first baseman. If they wouldn't take the financial hit and also the hit that it would bring to their lineup, forget about trading him. I would cut him yesterday. You have got to be kidding me. In Boston, a place like this, so lunch pail, so blue collar, that loves people that come through in the clutch and do their job or actually even try to take on multiple jobs to help out a group communal effort. It's the most anti-Boston thing I think I have heard in the longest time, Hart.
Not to distract or deviate from your point, these are the two points that are going to set the stage for the rest of the show, obviously. We'll be talking about the Celtics, Jason Tatum, their struggles and what they need to do. And timing is everything in life, Fitzy. While I was listening to you on the TV behind you was a simple commercial that is poorly timed for the Jason Tatum fans out there. The Superman trailer that has Jason Tatum in a Superman shirt and them talking about Jason Tatum comes up. Maybe hold off on that in the rotation until he does something positive till maybe Saturday night if he lives up to it.
Now, you know, you have live reads and whatnot during the radio show, and those are planned, so I'm told, days if not weeks in advance.
Yeah.
These commercials are bought and scheduled days, weeks, sometimes months in advance. So there's nothing anyone in traffic at the network could have done about that.
No
point.
That
being said, he has... See, Rafael Devers blew his chance to get everybody behind him. He absolutely just whizzed away his chance to get everyone behind him and say, you know what? I'll come through for my team. I'll give first base a shot. You guys will see. I'm a good fielder, and I'm an even better teammate, and I'll still smash dingers. And instead, just proves to be a sulky, sour, self-centered sourpuss. And for Jason Tatum, he has a chance to put on the super suit tomorrow in Metropolis, literally. I know there's no phone booths in Midtown Manhattan anymore, but find some place to change into your super suit. Where's my super suit? And deliver a dub for your team tomorrow in the clutch.
617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. No, we are not doing who won the week. We're doing who lost the week in Boston sports because, well, it's been that kind of week. I would actually argue, Fitzy, that Devers is the reason we changed the Friday opening segment here on WEEI Afternoons, because if he had just said, oh, you guys wanted me to play first? I'll go get my glove right now. Give me a couple days. Let me take some ground balls to get back to the swing of things. Ironically,
no.
I think people would have treated him like a hero. Yes, a hero, Rafi Devers. Mm-hmm. It would have been you on your white horse just riding in to save the day. Tristan Casas is gone. Oh, my, very strong horse. Strong back on that horse. Very strong horse, bringing him in as the savior for the Boston Red Sox. Instead, he's dug his heels in, and he has said, yeah, they told me I'm a little bit hard-headed, but no, I don't want to do it. They've gone back on their word. We'll get into some of the more details. The one thing that bothers me, Fitzy, and maybe I'm being anal here, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't consider asking him to play first base, a third position. I don't consider DH a position dramatically different than what you were doing. You were always hitting, and they told you, hey, we want you to just hit. You're just going to have a few more minutes to be in your own thoughts.
Get ready
between
to do the thing that you do the best. That's
it. Right. So this whole idea like, oh, my God, yet another position they're asking me to learn. No. There's no learning at DH. The learning is, I guess, dealing with the downtime. What do? Do you go to the cage? Do you grab a snack? I wouldn't if I were you. You do that often enough. But I would also argue now is a position change, but you wanted to play in the field. When you dug your heels in the first time, it was because you wanted to stay in the field at third base. This gives you the opportunity to go back in the field at an easier position. I don't want to hear it isn't. I've had more than enough major leaguers tell me it's, quote, a night off when they ask you to play third base.
It's not that difficult.
No, it isn't.
Mistake.
It is a common transition, third base to first base. He fancies himself a good enough fielder to play major league baseball in the infield. So, therefore, get your butt to first base and play first base. But you're going to dig in. I also just wonder, like, is this in his contract anywhere? Like, are they not allowed to
Zero
tell
chance.
Him?
Zero effing chance.
It says only third base or DH or something?
No, the most we know is that Heim Bloom apparently, quote-unquote, guaranteed to him that he would be the third baseman. That's as far as we've seen it go.
Okay, well, he's not that anymore.
Someone else guaranteed Heim Bloom that he'd be here for years because he bought a really nice house in Newton and put his kids in very fancy schools, and now he lives in St. Louis, which, last time I checked, isn't Newton. And Andy, to this notion of, you know, versatility and coming through in the clutch when your team needs you, we just watched a member of the New England Patriots who we thought was going to get into his team's Hall of Fame next year after the greatest kicker in the history of the NFL, but who was so beloved because of his positional versatility and his willingness to do anything for the football team and possibly even die out there, Will Campbell pledge style in Julian Edelman. Guy played safety, played cornerback, played kick returner, played special teams, threw one of the most important passes in Patriot history as a converted quarterback to kick returner slash receiver, and then became one of the best receivers in recent NFL and Patriots history as well. And all Rafi Devers has to do is pick up a flipping glove and go man the post at the not hot corner for three quarters of a season.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you talk to your boy that you miss so much in Xander Bogaerts? Because you know what he had to do when he got the call up to the bigs? He had to fill in when Will Middlebrooks was having some issues in the 2013 World Series and play third base. Did he go, no, this is going to stunt my development and growth because I'm only a shortstop. I'll never do this for you, Red Sox. Oh, he was glad, did a great job, and guess what? They won the freaking title. Yet this freaking, you know, guava cake sourpuss is saying, like, no, I'm not going to do it because that's not what you guys told me. Meh. Ugh.
And the sad part here is not only is this an issue on the field, that's hindering both of these teams. Jason Tatum is not shooting well. Jason Tatum is not playing well. The Celtics are not winning. And the Red Sox need a first baseman. They have a guy who should be a clear option to go to first base. He won't do it. But they're also Tatum and Devers in different ways. They're affecting potentially their legacy, their relationships with the fan base, you know, the support they will get from the fan base. Because they're both, you know, barring something crazy, they're both here for the long term on very large contracts. They are supposed to be modern Mount Rushmore type guys for the city of Boston and Boston sports. And I feel like the connection, we've used that word, the connection between Tatum and fans, now the connection between Devers and fans, I feel like that connection is not a good one. It's like buffering. People aren't quite sure how they feel about their two biggest superstars, which in a weird way may create opportunity for others. This may create an opportunity for Bregman to be more popular, or Crochet to be more popular, or Durant.
Oh, Bregman couldn't. He's
be
making
more popular.
Bregman look like a discount.
And that is
every single freak. Is that, Andy, do you think even though Rafael Devers has, a quarter of $1 billion still due to him to not play first base?
Terrible
and just
contract.
Strike out on 96 mile per hour, you know, waist-high fastballs regularly.
Wait, he leads Major League Baseball in walks.
Okay, but he also still has too many strikeouts for his own good.
Yeah, leads in strikeouts as well.
Yeah, no, I was trying to be positive. That's what
he's
I
not
do.
Catching up on the heat the way he used to either. Any which way. Do you think it bothers him? Not just being usurped at third base defensively. Do you think the average annual value of Alex Bregman's contract bothers Devers?
No. Probably. Yeah, so, I mean, with him, he's starting to be like, I tweeted this out yesterday when news broke that he had spoken.
I missed it.
And news broke that he had said something, I think, really dumb and detrimental to the team and problematic for both his management and also his teammates. I said, this effing guy, like that seems to be my reaction every time he speaks. He doesn't, you said read the room. He doesn't view the world, the Red Sox, his job, his situation, in my opinion, the way most people would, or even someone who was getting advice. I keep going back to this as well. Who's advising Rafi Devers. Who's advising him to go out there and act this way, talk this way? Does he not have agents and mentors? And I'm not saying Ortiz, because if I were Devers, I wouldn't listen to Ortiz either, because I would feel like Ortiz is part of the club. He's tied at the hip with Breslow and Cora. But does he not have a buddy, an uncle, a somebody who's like, yeah, no, it didn't go great last time, so how about we don't handle it this way? How about we kind of pussyfoot through this a little bit, say it a little bit more softly? But he didn't. He came out guns a-blazing yesterday. 617-779-7937. So we're talking about Jason Tatum, his struggles, the Celtics' struggles, and Rafi Devers, his stubbornness and unwillingness to do what's in the best interest of the baseball team and go to first base. We'll touch more on both of those up next. We'll also get to your phone calls. I see them lining up. Who lost the week in Boston sports? I think it was me because I work with Fitzy every day. Just kidding, Fitzy. Up next is Trending with Dan Ball.
The Red Sox front office report this week with Craig Breslow is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox joins us right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. The football guy, the professional, former professional football player in the room, has a question to start about last night's game, which he was asking earlier on the show.
Yeah, Craig, the play at first base when Roman Gonzalez, he bobbled the ball a little bit, but then he steps up with the ball in his hand. He's standing on first base, and the runner never touched the bag. How did they not call that an out? Explain that to me, because I always thought that was an out in baseball.
Yeah, so my understanding of the rule is once the runner passes the base and doesn't set foot on the base, at that point, our first baseman has to present it as it's an appeal. So kind of demonstrably show that he's tagging the runner or he's tagging the base because the runner missed the base, which I think if we're going to be critical of anything, it should be of the rule, because that's a lot to figure out in real time. But that would be the reason that kind of the incidental contact with the base while holding the ball after the runner had passed didn't result in the out.
I didn't know that.
Well, Craig, Willier continues to crush. What's been working so well for him in your mind?
Yeah, so I think he, number one, right now has a ton of confidence. He's got runway, knows he's going to be in the lineup every day. Obviously, we saw last night Alex left him up there for a left-on-left matchup, and he rewarded us. But he, going into last season, he had a pretty significant improvement in his bat speed. This year, he's hitting the ball in the air a ton. He's a really good player. So the more that the more at bats that he gets, the more we're going to see that.
Alex Cora was on this radio station yesterday afternoon talking a little bit about Rafi Devers and the option, if there is one, for him to do some time over at first base, and that, you know, talked a little bit about how he has settled into that DH role, but that he would not be reluctant to talk to him about it at some point. Just to be clear, has Alex Cora, have they spoken about Rafi maybe doing some time over at first base?
So we've had that conversation kind of internally and just batted around ideas as we're trying to surface every possible solution. Now, I think what Alex is pointing out rightfully is we want to make sure that we're not creating one problem by solving another. And, you know, Rafi's greatest impact is going to be what he can do in the batter's box. So, you know, if and when the time comes to have that conversation, we want to make sure that we're mindful of all of those things. And I think considering, we need to consider all options, which doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to pursue them.
Craig, I have to say, this is one of the weirdest weeks I've had watching this team, following this team in 40 years. Why is the team afraid of Rafael Devers?
I don't think anybody is afraid of Rafael Devers. Obviously, we had a difficult conversation with him in spring training, moving him off of third base and into the DH spot because we felt like that was what's best for the team, and we'll continue to operate with what is best for the team front of mind.
But isn't what's best for the team the roster flexibility you would get having Devers at first, Bregman at third, and then have whatever guys are nursing injuries or coming up through the minors be able to DH in a way that would not put them in the field in a position that the number one prospect in baseball plans to play?
It could be, you know, if Raffy is able to make that transition pretty seamlessly, if, you know, it doesn't impact what happens on the offensive side, then sure. But those are all factors that we need to consider when making this decision.
Has he done anything with the first baseman's mitt as far as you know?
No, so far his infield work has been at third base when he goes out there.
But wouldn't it benefit the organization to see how he could play it just before a game so you could inform the decision?
I don't know that it's as simple as that, because I think, you know, you put a glove on his hand and he goes out there and he starts to get to work, and then there's a bunch of questions about, is he ready? How good will he be? When will he be ready? So, you know, again, I would say all options need to be on the table, and we need to be anchored to what is best for the team, and we will do that.
Craig, when you talk about the transition, you got two guys down in the minor leagues, and Anthony and Marcelo Mayer. When you think about the transition of going from another position to first base, what is that transition like for a younger player versus a guy like Devers who might have only played a position for so long and he's a little bit, you know, a little bit older in his baseball career? Not too old, but he's been generally a third baseman. Is it a little bit easier to move the younger players around to maybe be able to play first base?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating question, actually, because I think you could see it go both ways. On the one hand, you know, you're right. Like, these guys have just been kind of anchored to a particular position for fewer years, just given the fact that they haven't been playing quite as long. And, you know, everything will be new when they get to the big leagues. On the other, I think because everything will be new, you want to be mindful of how many variables and how many new things you might be throwing at someone. You know, I think the other thing here is both Roman and Marcelo profile as pretty strong defenders at their respective positions. And we have to keep at least one eye on kind of the big picture and what the impact on their development would be if we ask them to make a transition for the short term.
Craig, Lucas Giolito fell off the other night pretty badly. I understand he's coming back from injury. The weather wasn't great. Do you attribute those factors into why he played poorly, or are you worried about it?
Well, I think, you know, he's got two big league starts this year. One of them was really, really good, and the other, you know, he'd be the first to admit, wasn't. You know, we definitely want to track the performance. We want to track the delivery, knowing that he's coming off a couple of injuries, both the elbow and the hamstring. You know, I think we want to find the balance between not being overly concerned with one outing and also not ignoring opportunities to address or improve what we're seeing. So, you know, our pitching group is all over it, and they continue to work with him. And, you know, we're confident that the next time out, he will be better.
Craig, just to go back briefly to Devers, we all heard him at the training camp, or spring training, rather, and he was, you know, said he was a third baseman. Has he said anything to you or Alex, as in not you guys asking him, has he said to you or Alex that he would like an opportunity to play first base?
Yeah, I think it's probably best just to keep those internal conversations internal. You know, I understand why there's a lot of attention on this, and we need to figure out both, you know, kind of the shorter term and long term solution there at first. But, you know, I think it's important that the conversations we're having internally stay internal.
What would be you would say would be the most difficult thing for anybody who's playing the position first base that they would have to learn? Or might be present the biggest problem when you are a first baseman?
Yeah, I think in this case, you know, there are probably two things. One would be because, you know, someone like Devers is coming from a DH role, and you know, granted, he hasn't been doing it for all that long, but it did take
a period to acclimate where he was going from being engaged in the field every inning to now trying to figure out what his routine looks like to be prepared for, you know, 3, 4, 5 at bats a night. So that would represent a change. And then I think the other thing as it relates specifically to first base is not so much the catching the ball, the footwork around the bag, the fielding the ball. It's the more nuanced plays to understanding, like, what is your range? Which are the balls that you go after? And which do you leave for the second baseman? And then being in the right place with respect to cutoffs and relays and, you know, making sure that the responsibilities that go beyond just catching the ball with your foot on first base are covered.
Do your analytics guys have any insight into who will be the next Pope by chance?
That is not currently on their list of tasks for the next week or two.
Okay.
So yeah, once we get the first base situation sorted out, we can follow up on that one.
And we'll know about that. There will be some kind of smoke or something that comes out of Fenway Park. Yes.
Yes. We were thinking about using the smoke to indicate who will play first.
I like it.
Yep.
All right. Craig, thank you as always. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. There he is. Craig Breslow.
Some good nuggets in there.
Yeah?
Yeah. They don't want to have him being over there and maybe booting balls, not scooping balls, just looking very badly, and then that might affect how he's performing at the plate. Because maybe they feel like, all right, you know, see what happened with the transition from moving him to third base to DH.
Also saying that they would like to keep all of the conversation internal when Curtis asked just straight up, like, has he asked you guys, mm-hmm. can you give me a shot at playing first? Tells me that it's quite the opposite. Like, he does not want to play first.
I bet he doesn't. I bet he's, like, trying to stay as far away from that thing as possible.
Remember when we were at spring training and Cora had said to us and to everybody that Devers would be the DH, Bregman would be third. What was Devers doing whenever there was media in the building?
We
saw him taking grounders.
Yeah, ground
at third
balls.
Base.
Yeah,
third and he
base.
Was still doing that
mm-hmm.
in the regular season when they were in. Where did they start? Texas. When they were in Texas, he's made it a point to do that. If he wanted to play first base, we would know about it, and he would make sure we did.
Yeah, he don't want to though. I think Courtney's spot on. He's probably like, I don't want to play first base.
Right.
You know, which is. And I think they're probably like, well, then that's one less thing that could present a problem. Because even Breslow said it. That's one less thing that could present itself as being a problem.
Right.
If he's not at first base and there's some issues, then, you know, now we don't have to worry about that problem with, you know, one of our best hitters. Let's figure out what one of these other guys, whoever it might be.
And I would also say, just like my Missoula question, Netflix a year early.
Mm.
This would have been a great season to document.
Yeah, it would. Did you finish the whole thing or no? I did not finish the whole thing.
I'm not.
I didn't either. I think I have 2 episodes left.
Yeah.
I can't. Seeing Casas just too raw.
I would think scooping is the hottest thing at first base.
I was an elite scooper.
Were you? I would think that would be the hottest
thing. I was like a vacuum over at first.
Right. Me and Greg are the best ice cream scoopers in the business.
I like 2 scoops.
All right. I feel like that would be the hottest thing.
You haven't posted ice cream in a while.
I know.
You haven't posted ice cream in a while.
I've been staying away from Van Leeuwen. It is beach bod season.
Well,
clearly. We are down to it. Also, I got to get trimmed for the match.
Oh, right.
Greg, I have a question. Do you do, if you did 2 scoops, do you do different flavors ever?
That was what I was going to ask. I never do 2 different flavors.
Not always.
Yeah.
No.
Always. They have to complement each other. But yeah, why not?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Oh, I love a good 2
scoop. But
then
the flavors have to make sure.
They complement each other. Yeah.
So, like, what 2 flavors would you go with?
Like, you know what's really good? A mint Oreo with a cookie dough.
I'm so out.
So good.
I'm out on mint
or a
ice
coffee
cream.
Oreo.
I'm so with you, Wiggy.
Coffee
mint
Oreo
ice cream stinks.
That is the worst.
Why don't you just order, you can get a coffee, cookies, and cream. Like, you don't need
different.
To, like, do.
Like, I want cookie dough, but I also want Oreo. And with a little coffee mixed in, delicious.
Coffee ice cream?
No. Yeah.
I'm
I know, you say it's an old
yeah.
head.
Yeah, coffee ice cream
I love
and
coffee
mint.
Ice cream.
Yeah, I can't do the mint.
Yeah,
Give me a nice chocolate chip cookie dough, and I'm good.
Mm.
Yeah, the reason I ask is James is vanilla Oreo, and he does it together. And my entire life, I never would combine flavors. It's shocking.
I never do it.
And you'll probably get away with vanilla Oreo. Like, you know, you can get away with that one. Okay. I like the Reese's Cup ice cream, too.
Ugh. great topping.
Chime, we are setting the match for the 19th or the 20th, correct? Of May.
Yeah, are we locking that in?
Yeah, I think Granite Links is in. So, and what time of the day do you want? You want to do it like at noon? So people, we're going to have a, Curtis wants to have a gallery, which I think is okay with Granite Links. So you want to do it around noon or whatever so people come on their lunch break, or you want to do it at twilight? Like
whatever time works best for you, Greg. It doesn't matter to me.
Could we maybe try for the 19th over the 20th?
Oh, see, I was going to say I would prefer, I need the 20th.
20th next gen board meeting.
Oh, well, we're not working our radio schedule around your personal, what you are personally bound for. I mean, we could try for the 19th. That's a Monday. That's fine.
Well, if it works better for Shime, I just won't be able to make the next gen board.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I won't be here Monday, so I would need Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going away that weekend, and I have Monday off.
Okay. Then Tuesday it is.
I didn't know it was flex season.
Oh, yeah. It's flex season. Once weather gets warm.
Spring ratings book.
Well, and also, with all due respect to the crew, we want everybody to be in the day after the match.
Right.
Like, there'll be a huge, there'll be a palpable buzz.
I'll be here for the day after the match, of course.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. That's why I'm saying don't do it the 19th, do it the 20th, because I'm here the rest of the week.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We got match one golf, and then we got match two Grand Theft Auto 6, but we push that back to 2029.
Yeah, we have to wait until the game actually comes out.
I don't legit don't have a gaming platform anymore.
Well, by the time the game comes out, they're going to come out with like 8 new gaming platforms.
Yeah, wait
so
for PlayStation 6.
And Greg, it's not 1996. You don't sound cooler when you preface something with legit.
So what, I should go PS6?
Yeah, wait for that. That comes out, I want to say, 2027. So you might as well wait for the PlayStation 6 to come out, and then you could jump right up on the GTA.
I mean, literally, I believe what occurred was that Jen was so angered that I was allowing Brees at age 7 to play Grand Theft Auto with me that she threw out my PS2, I believe is what happened.
I love Jen more and more.
What's wrong with, at some point, you have to learn about life. What better way to learn it than Grand Theft Auto?
By stealing cars.
Right. Right. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. We are going to get to Hill Notes coming up, but right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. The Celtics go down 2 games in the Eastern Conference semifinals, now heading to New York. Final score was 91-90 after once again being up 20 points. The guys have now made only 25 of 100 three-point attempts in the series. Jaylen Brown and Derek White led the team with 20 points each in the loss. Game 3 in New York is Saturday at 3:30. Other playoff games last night, the Thunder tie things up with the Nuggets in Game 2, 149-106. The Red Sox get a win over the Rangers, 6-4. Willier Abreu had 2 homers in this one, while Alex Bregman had his 200th career home run. He's one of only 34 active players in the 200 club. Tanner Houck went 4 2/3, giving up 2 runs on 6 hits while striking out 2. Last one with the Rangers today, first pitch at 1:35 with Brian Baio taking the mound. Lenny DiNardo joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. And in the NHL, Dallas goes up a game on the Jets after game 1, and the Maple Leafs go up 2 on the Panthers. And that was brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, it is, let's see here, 63 in Boston, afternoon high at 69.
Top 5 Friday, Jones and Keith. We do it every Friday at 10:45. We'll give you our top 5 first base options for the Boston Red Sox momentarily. You can jump in line, 617-779-7937. A lot of you fired up about Rafael Devers and his refusal to play first base. Cora and Breslow, seems like there's something there. Good text here, 617-779-7937. I mostly agree with you guys, but
nice.
It's not Breslow's job to talk to Devers. He just did it on his own. Can't blame Cora for that.
Yeah, he went rogue. Yeah, Breslow had no communication with Cora at all and just went down there and did it on his own. No, I think they probably talked about it. Cora was like, I'm not doing it.
It's possible that played out that way. My read on it, and who knows, my read is when Cora came out and was like, yeah, no, I haven't talked to him. I don't plan on talking to him. Breslow's like, well, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If that guy's not going to do it, what do we pay you for, by the way? But if that guy's not going to do it, I'll go do it. I actually have some respect for Breslow for doing that.
Yeah, the quote-unquote player's manager needs the chief baseball officer to go down there and talk about changing positions.
Worm move.
I don't like it.
Weasel move is what that is. We have the Friday four-pack coming your way at 11:30, a four-pack of questions every Friday on Jones and Keefe. We got to get to Belichick and Jordan.
Yeah, another update there.
She's banned from UNC.
Banned.
The family is concerned, and she also is trying to, speaking of worming her way into something,
yeah,
worm her way into another Belichick commercial.
Wow. She's trying to beef up the IMDb.
We'll get to that. We have Tim Welsh, former Providence head coach, joining us at high noon to talk Celtics and Knicks game 3 tomorrow at the Garden. Week in Review 12:45. And Mike Vrabel speaks today at 1:30. You'll hear it here live on WEEI when he hits the podium. All right, you want to go first?
Sure.
On your top five options for the Boston Red Sox. If you're watching twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, you can see our list there as well.
All right, top five options to play first base for the Boston Red Sox. Number five, Vaughn Grissom. He is the current first baseman for the Woo Sox. Has three ding-dongs so far this year. Fresh blood. He's been playing the position at least. I'll be honest, not a great option, but that's why there's five of them.
It's not my favorite.
No. Okay. Number four, Roman Anthony, the top prospect in all of baseball. You can't possibly move him, can you? Well, if you want him in the lineup and you want him to play right away, here's an opening, here's a spot. He can learn to do it. A lot of these guys that might be playing first base haven't been playing first base, so put Roman Anthony number four. Number three, whoever you trade Devers for. That's right. Whether it's Pete Alonso, which unlikely the Mets would deal him, or Rhys Hoskins, the name we brought up the other day, whoever it might be, trade Devers. Get rid of Devers. Bring back a first baseman. Probably won't be a one-for-one trade. Might be, you know, a first baseman with an arm and a prospect or whatever.
Yeah, we were kind of surmising that in the break. Maybe you get Hoskins in a bullpen arm or another first baseman like that in a bullpen. Maybe there's a way to help the team while sacrificing the bat at first base / DH.
But if you get him out of here because you don't like his attitude.
Yeah,
and,
which we don't.
You say, how many more years of this? We're going to put up with this guy? So you get a first baseman. All right, number two on my list, Marcelo Meyer. Friend of the show, Marcelo Meyer. He's already playing short, third, and second. Why not try first base? He already told us he would play anywhere just to be in the majors. Feels like he should be on the major league club. So I will take Marcelo Meyer. And then number one, the guy I've been saying all along, Christian Campbell. He might be your future second baseman, but they're already moving him to the outfield like once a week. So if you're willing to move positions right now, you're obviously not dead set on him just learning and sticking with second base. He's 6'3". I know he's thin. He's wiry, but he's 6'3", decent enough target. Slide him over to first and allows you to have either Meyer or Story play second, Meyer or Story play short, and kind of go from there, strengthen your lineup. So Christian Campbell's been the guy I've wanted all along, number
one. So Devers is nowhere on your list because
I think
you're
he's going to suck at it.
Okay, but
or I would trade him, yeah.
Okay, but he's nowhere on your list.
No.
Okay, interesting.
So I think if the team wants him to play there, I think he should. But I think he'll be a butcher at it. He's the worst third baseman in baseball. He might be the worst first baseman in baseball.
You think he should be a good teammate, suck it up and do
it?
Yes,
I think he should do it if they're asking him to.
You just think it wouldn't help the team?
Nope. I think he would stink at it, and I'm also very open to trading him.
Okay. Those are Rich Keefe's top five. We'll get those up at Jones and Keefe shortly. Let me go 5-1.
Okay.
On my list here, Keith. You want a good frame over at first base?
Yeah, I do.
My number five option is Hogdale. I think Hogdale is a good...
Hogdale?
I think he's a good target over at
Hogdale?
First base. I think he would be not a bad option because I don't like any of the... I don't like
Do you know how tall Hogdale is?
No. I don't like Vaughn Grissom as an option. I don't like moving Roman Anthony. Basically, I ran out after my first four. So I'll give Hogdale
please.
A go.
The pitch. Swung on, lifted, center field. High and deep. This will... Get out! Tristan! Let's go! My voice cracks every time I call a Tristan home run.
Look, Keith.
Yeah, okay. Hogdale at first.
Team needs a vibes guy.
He is a vibes guy.
Devers is not a vibes guy.
I'll give you that.
Good frame over at first. Yeah. Hogdale is on my list.
I don't give a his second of the season.
Number four, hit the market. Go find yourself.
Oh, but Devers told you to.
Yes, you didn't take Devers' advice? Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Number four, hit the market. Go find somebody in Rafael Devers' parlance. I don't know if that's Anthony Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's Bobby Dalbec. I don't know if you're aiming higher, but go ahead and hit the market. Take Devers' advice. Number three, Marcelo Meyer. I am slowly warming up to that. I don't like the idea of taking him out of the middle of the infield, but to get him up to the big leagues, and if Devers won't do it, at some point, you got to move him over there. I would not do it with Anthony. I think that's pointless. Meyer, I'm starting to warm to that. Initially, I was very resistant to do that. That's friend of the show, Marcelo Meyer. Get him up to the big leagues, have him rake. He can always move back to wherever you need him. Short, second, third. It's a novel idea that guys can move around,
yeah,
by the way.
We've seen it.
Number two, Christian Campbell, another guy moving around, as you said. I'd have him second on the list. But the number one option to me is Rafael Devers. He should do it.
Ralphie.
There's a reason that people are upset about this. There's a reason that Craig Breslow went to him and asked him about it. And I blame Devers for not doing it. So I think he is the clear, obvious, logical move. I'm surprised he's nowhere on your list.
No, I don't even want him.
He's number one on my
list. I think he'd be a butcher there, too.
Now, look, Hogdale's also on my list. I'm not calling it a perfect list.
Yeah.
But Devers, number one for me, followed by Campbell, Meyer, outside options, a.k.a. hit the market, and Hogdale. See what
text line says, doubt they would do it, but Devers to Oakland for Soderstrom and Mason Miller. Now, that would be unbelievable. The problem is, if Oakland / Sacramento was a real team, maybe they would take on Devers in his contract, but I just don't think they had any interest in Devers.
Right, so I brought up Soderstrom in the break. I didn't even think about Miller.
You'd need like a three-team deal to get that done.
But, yeah, why would Oakland take on that money? That's the problem with Devers. If you are going to trade him, a team like the Mets makes sense.
Like a good team would say, hey, we have him for the long haul, but for a bad team, they're like, what are we doing
with this guy? But they think they could market him when they get to Vegas.
Well, maybe. I don't
know.
Are they not for that kind of money?
You can't market him here, but do they think?
No. It's a good question.
When they get to Vegas,
it's a good question.
He could be the face.
No.
So, but
no,
like,
I don't think so.
Soderstrom,
he can't be the face of anything.
They just called up a big ticket
prospect.
Except
for being a bad teammate.
They just called up a big ticket first baseman prospect. Kurz, is that his name?
Kurz, yeah.
Kurz, thank you. So they called him up at first base.
Kurz?
So Soderstrom, to me, makes sense. But again, the A's aren't going to take that on. But that kind of deal, first baseman and bullpen help because you need it. Would that be better for the team? You can jump in on it. 617-779-7937.
Colonel Kurz from Apocalypse Now.
You can seek
Director's
out
cut.
Our top five Friday lists at Jones and Keefe on social media, Twitter and Instagram. You'll see them there. We'll start to mix in some Celtics thoughts along with all your Devers phone calls. We'll do that next.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, live at Fenway Park, and joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, how are we doing this week?
Doing okay.
Feels like a loaded question when I say that, right?
I'm doing okay.
We were just talking about good Chinese food and Mai Tais, so if you could get an order in here right now, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Mai Tai Johnny.
So obviously, I heard you answer a couple questions yesterday about Rafi Devers and the possibility of playing first base with very short answers. No, you haven't talked to him about it. No, you don't plan to. So I guess my follow-up, not being there then, is why will you not talk to him about it? Why does he not make sense to be an option for first base after the Casas injury?
I think where we're at right now with him, you know, he's very comfortable with his role, right? And we asked him to do something in spring training that, as you guys know, he didn't agree in the beginning. And then little by little, he has embraced because he knows the quality of the player that we have at third base, where we at as a team. I always said that time is our best friend in situations like this. And you know, this is too recent. You know, like Tristan got hurt Saturday, you know, and we got some capable players. Romy's having a good season. Toro, you saw him yesterday. He put some good at bats. So I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation, but I think for now where we at, I like Rafi as a DH. I like him as my DH. He's, you take away the first weekend of the season, he's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues, and he's doing an outstanding job.
You know, I guess just to follow that up, because you know Craig Breslow said, basically alluded to the fact that all scenarios are on the table, and particularly about possibility of Rafi maybe playing first. So you just said it's not maybe a hard and fast kind of no at this point. So you're still open to possibly at a certain time down the road having Rafi maybe play first if that's what the team needs.
I mean, to be fair, you know, with the player, I think, like I said, he's getting used to this position and he's been really good. I know that people think that you just stick him at first and see what happens, you know? And I actually had a conversation with my brother today about different scenarios and all that. And if you think about it, there's three players. Well, everybody has to be involved in the game, right? Defensively, you have to. But the catcher, the pitcher, and the first baseman, they have to be locked in. And it's not that easy. You know, positioning is a lot different than in the past. I think in the past, you just say, okay, put him at first base and just catch throws. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at it, we play the first baseman off, and there's different alignments. You know, we can say, okay, Rafi's going to play first. It's not going to happen tomorrow, It's not going to happen in 5 days, you know. So there's a process, and it's a long process too. So, but like I said, for the player, to be fair with him, I think we're in a good spot with him where he's at mentally and with his process and, you know, getting used to what he's doing. And in my opinion, to throw something at him right now, it'll be very unfair.
So Casas is out for the season, yeah. And obviously doing well. Quick question on that. How's the recovery going so far?
Painful. You know, yeah. I talked to him yesterday. It just so recent, right? I think the process started today as far as like the rehab. Yeah. But one thing about him, man, is it's amazing. You know, like you talk to him and the first thing he talks is what happened on the field, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. How are you doing? That's right. The most important thing. He's in good hands. I think our trainers are one of the best, if not the best, in the big leagues, you know, and he'll be back whenever it is, you know, he'll be back and he's going to be okay.
But I imagine you guys are not just looking for a piecemeal solution to first base. You're looking for some sort of like long-term answer. I don't know if there's some sort of papal conclave that happens where you guys all get together and try to think about who's going to come over there at first, or if maybe you're going to give other guys consideration. Like, for example, have you talked to anybody else on staff, maybe a Trevor Story or Christian Campbell, since he's had a little positional versatility?
And No, we haven't done
nobody?
That. But one of the things, and then, as you guys know, he works in sports and works in everything, right? You have conversations, you know,
sure.
And not everybody needs to know what's going on in there, right? And me and Craig, we have a lot of respect. We like working with each other, and I think the common goal here is to win the World Series. And we understand that there's a different team today than what it was Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before the season started, we were talking about Tristan Casas hitting fourth, playing first base, and hitting 35 home runs, right?
40, actually.
And 40, actually. 40. Yeah, 40. And he's not going to be able to do that. So we have to make adjustments. It doesn't have to be right now. We'll explore every option, and then we'll make decision based on the team.
So you mentioned that it is fresh, and it doesn't have to be right now, but do you put a goal like out there by this, you know, by midseason, I want to have that position settled, or do you just sort of roll with the nightly punches?
Well, I'll tell you what, if Romy Gonzalez still hitting 350, then he's the answer,
easy,
right? He's a good defender. He's a good athlete. You know, the one thing about this, obviously, the negative, we don't have Tristan, you know, the hitter, the power. If we're going to take something positive out of this bad situation, Romy's very athletic. We can be more aggressive running the bases. He's a good defender. And he's actually putting good at bats. So hopefully he's the answer, you know, and we don't have to explore any other venue. But, you know, we'll keep talking about it.
Alex, changing gears just a little bit. You know, so far, 4-9 in one-run game. So not where you want. Over the weekend against Minnesota, a couple bunts that were effective. Is that maybe a prelude to maybe more – you know, small ball or a shift in philosophy when it comes to those tight games that you've been in?
Well, especially with the top four hitters that we have. You know, the close games, you have to win. We talk about you have to win the games that you have to win, right? And if you go to Cleveland, we were up 3-0 in Tanner's outing. We lost that game.
Yep.
We lost the 2 in Toronto. We lost 1 against Minnesota. The hammy bunt was on his own, and he's very dynamic. He actually – something we've been talking about him to him for a while, man. Like, when you run like that, you can avoid the 0-for-10, 0-for-14. You just drop one down, and probably you're going to be safe at first. There were 2 sack bunts over the weekend, just trying to maximize the top of the lineup. I know they brought a lefty for Jaron and Rafi, but I truly believe that those three up there – with men in scoring position, they should cash in, right? And obviously, we're not swinging the bat the way we're capable. If you look at us, we're very inconsistent. We are. You know, we score 10, we score 1, we score 7, we don't score. And it's been going on early in the season. So maximizing opportunities is something that, you know, last weekend, I look at it and we have to do it, you know. But whenever we get going offensively, then we just let him do the thing, and we can score runs in bunches.
Consistently inconsistent was the line I gave you a couple of weeks ago about
yes.
how the season's been thus far, and it seems to be ebbing and flowing like that as well. And earlier, just cut to 2 weeks ago, Slayton was dropping the hook late in games, looked unhittable. My guy, Garrett Whitlock, just, I always call him right-handed Andrew Miller. You can do so much with him. And they were cruising. And then last week, the stumble, tough at bats against Vladdy, and then Sunday's game. It's almost like it was a print and repeat of what had happened a few days prior. What happened in the Sunday meltdown with Whitlock and Slayton?
I think putting guys away with two strikes. If you look at the series in Toronto, they got three hits on breaking balls with two strikes. Same thing happened the next day, the last day of the series, and it happened against Minnesota too. And this is about execution. I don't think it's about game planning. We have to be better in those counts. And if we have to bounce it, we have to bounce it. You know, right. These guys, they're too good, especially with slow stuff in the zone. You know, everybody's geared up for the fastball because of they have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. 98, 99. And with two strikes, you either go up, 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 or down, 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 make them chase. I think the best bullpens in the big leagues from the seventh inning on, teams don't put the ball in play against them. They get their punch outs. We're really good about inducing swing and misses. We're not great at getting strikeouts. So hopefully it's going to even out because the stuff is there, but we have to do a better job executing pitches.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. You just mentioned the best bullpens, sit-down lineups in 7, 8, 9. Your offense has been front-loaded in games, the batting averages, the splits, first three innings, last three innings. Aberrational, is there a reason for that? Put a finger on that, concern?
You can look at us being dominant early on. I don't feel that way. I think starters are going six innings against us. And when they go six, you get 7, 8, 9, and it's the high leverage guys. You know, we can do a better job putting starters away. For example, on Sunday, we score early. The pitch count was up, but their guy went six. And then after that, they lined up their relievers, and they did an amazing job.
Yep.
Bullpens at this level, they're elite. You know, it doesn't matter if you have 22 wins or you only have five. You know, they're really good because the stuff is great. I think we have to do a better job getting to the low leverage relievers, right? And that's where the fun starts. And we haven't done that this season.
You mentioned the starting pitching, you know, 16 games in a row where they went five plus innings, except for last night's. That was an issue, the starting pitching to start the season. It feels like it's evened out now. Just your thoughts overall on your starting pitch.
They're doing an outstanding job. I saw that stat about quality starts, you know, first time that has happened since 17, I think it was. And if you look at the games, yeah, it makes sense. You know, we've been in games in the sixth inning and seventh inning because of what they have done. This season, as a staff, we've been very aggressive letting them go because if you look at them when they get to the sixth, they've been efficient, their stuff is really good, and they've done their job. And that's the key of surviving 162. If your starters give you six, you're going to be in a good spot. Obviously, the bullpen has struggled as of late, but things should level out, and we should be okay.
On the starter front, any concern with Crochet with the glancing ball that hit him on Sunday?
No, he's okay. It's funny, I go to the mound with our trainer, and we're very concerned, and he's not bleeding. I went back to Rocky IV, you know, yeah. Ivan Drago. I'm like, this guy's a machine, you know. But he did a good job, grinded through it.
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling great either before the game. He was a little bit under the weather. So 5 innings was perfect for us. We had our guys lined up. It just didn't happen.
And how's Walker Buehler doing?
He's doing okay. He played catch yesterday. He's going to do it again today. Probably a bullpen over the weekend. We're shooting probably for the end of the Detroit series or the first series back when we come from Detroit, which is Atlanta or the Mets, I think it is.
You've been very consistent with your messaging. We're a good baseball team. We're going to be a good baseball team. But Ted and I, the old Parcells term is you are what your record says
you are. Yeah.
And right now you're a sub-500 baseball team. How do you sort of bring those two ideas together?
Well, when you look at the division, we're 2.5 games back. It is what it is, right? We're playing under 500, but the division has been bad. You know, everybody thought that we were going to be the NL West, right? Everybody playing over 500. It hasn't happened. You can call it luck, or this is the season we're playing in, right? And we're just 2.5 games back, and we haven't played good baseball.
Masataka Yoshida, it still feels like the shoulder. For him to come up to the big leagues or start playing, get on the roster, does he have to be able to play in the field as well as DH?
Yeah, I mean, he has. He has to play on the field where we're at right now. He just had a shot 2 days ago. He's not even swinging now. You know, we have to make sure the shot, you know, does his job. You know, so we just have to be patient with him.
And I gotta, I'll eschew asking about the kids down at in Worcester, just because, you know, I know there's obviously no room for them right now. I've seen the highlights; they're looking great. But last night, it has got to kill you watching Nate Eovaldi pitch so well against you guys time and again, knowing how important he was to you in 2018. He seems to always save his best stuff up against you. And now with Mally tonight, it's not going to be any easier to get the offense back on track.
We've been facing good pitching too. I mean, people talk about the schedule and playing teams under 500. We face Barrios, we face Ryan, we're facing Nate. This guy today, he's a monster too. So he's not easy. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, and this is all over the place. You know, like there's good pitching in the big leagues. We just have to be better with Nate. Hate when he pitches against us. Hate it, you know. But he's my guy, man. What he did for us in 18, second to none. Obviously, all those guys from the starting rotation. And he cares about the city. He still loves it. It just matters that, you know, Arlington is very close to Houston, and that's home for him.
Yep.
All right, Alex, appreciate you joining us, as you do every week. And good luck tonight. Winning streak starts with one, right?
Let's go. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you next week. Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, here with WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll react to some of the comments from the manager and look ahead to tonight's game, where the Red Sox look to snap a three-game losing streak.